Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Looking forward to jumping into a brand new chapter today. We are in Acts chapter 19, the last of the teens. So we are getting to the two-thirds point, I think, in our study of the book of Acts. Not that we're trying to rush, but it is interesting how if you read the Bible and study it every single day, you'll be amazed over time just how much the Lord teaches you and how much you can assimilate. And so I appreciate you joining us for the journey. I'm joined again today with John Edmonds, and we are in Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. So John, let me read a couple verses and we'll dive right into it. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. So an interesting passage, John, here in the city of Ephesus. What do you make of it?
Yeah, Pastor, I've always loved this passage because it shows us the transition from the time of John the Baptist preaching. Now Jesus Christ has come, and now Paul is preaching the good news. And this shows us very clearly, spiritually speaking, how the baptism of John was related to the baptism of Christ. Obviously, these people are disciples here. Paul recognizes that right away. He thinks they must have believed in the gospel, possibly, because he asked if they've been baptized. But they got the Holy Ghost, I should say. And they say, we didn't even know about the Holy Ghost. And so Paul sees clearly that they have some insight, but they don't know everything they ought to know. And so he finds out where they're at spiritually and then brings them along to the next step where they're glad to believe.
No, I love that. Just to put us into proper chronological context, remember the Apostle Paul had spent those 18 months in Corinth, and then he had gone to Ephesus briefly. He had taken Priscilla and Aquila, and then he had gone. He had gone back to Jerusalem, back to his home church in Antioch of Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila, in the meantime, had heard Apollos, had discipled him, and Apollos was now in Corinth. Paul makes his journey back to Ephesus. This is what we call the third missionary journey, the beginning of it, and he finds these people. So a couple of things that are striking to me, John. First of all, you know, in the first century, the communication wasn't at the level at which we find it today. So you and I might look at this passage and say, well, how could these people know about John's message about Messiah, about Jesus, and yet not know about Jesus? You know, that seems impossible. But they're separated by time and space. There's no internet, there's no television, there's no real-time information. So pockets of people can live in places and not know. And a great example of that is Apollos. You know, Apollos knew about John and had been introduced to the ministry of John, but he himself didn't understand all of the nuances of the ministry of Christ until Priscilla and Aquila helped him.
You know, so important for us to remember that, Pastor, because oftentimes when people come to passages like this, we take all the knowledge we already have about the Bible, and we come and we read this now, and we don't interpret what's going on here. So it is important to understand this is a time of transition. People are, like you mentioned, are learning new things along the way. We don't know when these people heard John the Baptist preach, but at some point they've heard at least his message. They've been baptized, identified with John's message. And now it's important that they get the next part of God's revelation, and that is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. It wasn't that they didn't believe properly. It's that they didn't have all the information available yet. So they believed the message of John. They had been baptized in John's ministry. So that meant they believed in a coming Messiah. They believed in a Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. So in that sense, they were saved people. They believed on the coming Messiah, just like those in the Old Testament looked forward to Christ. They just didn't have the information about the actual ministry of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection as an historical reality.
You know, John, as you mentioned, John the Baptist did point people to the Messiah. I think of John chapter 1. He points out, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." But not everybody that heard John's message would have heard him say that. But as you mentioned, they didn't know he talked about a Messiah who would come, talked about the coming kingdom of God. And these people at Ephesus here had heard that and had readied themselves for the kingdom of God that would come at some point.
And it seems, and this is a really practical thought, but it seems as if they were more committed to the ministry of Messiah, not even knowing all the things that you and I know, than many people today are with all the information about Messiah.
You know, I think so much about Hebrews chapter 11 and the Hall of Faith, as often is called. And the Bible goes through this whole list of people and then just gives some generalities, though not specific names, of people that suffered this and suffered that. But then at the end, you know, they had not yet received the promise. But yeah, now we have received the Messiah. And when I read that portion of scripture, Pastor, always convicts my heart. We're here, you know, John, you have all the word of God. You know all that Christ has done. And these people were faithful, just having the promise.
I think there's a good lesson here as well for us as Christian teachers, as mature believers. And that is, you know, when we confront people that might have some doctrinal gaps or might have some areas where they don't understand a certain ism or ology, that doesn't mean that they're bad people. Sometimes it just means they've not been exposed to the truth yet in that area. And I love how the Apostle Paul doesn't jump on them, doesn't rebuke them, but lovingly, gently teaches them and brings them along by giving them the word of God.
You know, Paul gives us a great example here of asking probing questions about where they're at. And I love the fact that you mentioned, Pastor, that Paul found out where they were at spiritually, and then he brings them along, which is so crucial. Sometimes we talk to people and we prejudge them when we find they don't believe a certain thing. But they may not even know what the issue is. And we have to have a heart of compassion and love and talk to them and find out where they're at spiritually to help them take the next step they need to.
What would you say to somebody that would say, well, you know, they were already baptized. You know, they had been baptized in John's ministry, but yet the Bible says here that now they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So why would someone have to be baptized twice?
It's interesting, Pastor, when people look at John the Baptist's baptism, they often look at that as Christian baptism like we would use today. But the reality is John the Baptist, you know, he was the forerunner for Christ. Christ had not yet died, was buried, and resurrected. When John baptized people, they were identifying with John's message, saying, John, we believe what you say. Yes, we agree with that. Now, with Christian baptism, we identify with Jesus and who Jesus is. That's why they were baptized in the name of Jesus, because they're identifying, oh, yes, we believe in him as our Messiah, and we want to place our faith in him. He is the one who has come for us.
In that sense, baptism is that identification, that public declaration that I subscribe to this body of truth as it's typified by its messenger. And so in that sense, yes, there was a necessity for them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And I would just say this to our listeners, this is not a formula for baptism. So sometimes people get hung up on, well, wait a minute. I'm baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And here they're only baptized in the name of Jesus. And, you know, the oneness movement would say, now, listen, don't parse what doesn't need to be parsed. This is not a formula for baptism. This is simply saying that we're identified with the Lord and his death, burial, and resurrection when we're baptized.
You're right, Pastor. And the Bible makes it so clear here in this passage of, you know, contrasting John's baptism with the baptism in the name of Jesus. Paul certainly is not given a formula we are to follow today. In the name of Jesus, we baptize.
And it's interesting as well that when they were water baptized, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in verse 6 that when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So we see speaking in tongues in Acts chapter 2. We see it again in Acts chapter 10. I think it's implied in Acts chapter 8. Is it actually expressly stated? But either way, we find it again here in Acts chapter 19. So speaking in tongues, I don't believe I think it's one of the sign gifts. I don't think it's something that Christians do today. I would disagree with our charismatic friends on that. But so what do you make of speaking in tongues here in Acts chapter 19?
You know, I think, Pastor, as you mentioned it back, important times, like today, we know today, whenever we trust in Christ, our Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. We are baptized into the body of Christ, identified with the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. And yet in the Bible times back in Acts here, you know, it is a transitional book, and God wants to make it clear that he is using the apostles and prophets as the main leaders in the church there in the book of Acts. And so we find in Acts chapter 8, although Philip is preaching, the Holy Ghost doesn't come down until, you know, we find Peter and John go down. And then we find in 10, Cornelius. And then we find here, I think it's the similar idea that it's a very open symbol that these people have also received Christ. Holy Spirit has baptized them. And I think speaking in tongues, we know in later on in Corinthians, it was a sign to the Jews that what God has said in the Old Testament was going to be fulfilled. Now, I don't know what the makeup was of all the people here at Ephesus, but we do find this general pattern throughout the book of Acts.
Yeah, and that's a good point. So a couple points to be clarified. Number one, it was a sign to Jews. So a person can't see another person's heart. They can't see the indwelling spirit. So the speaking in tongues would be an external sign that these had received what others had received, and that is the Holy Ghost. And then secondly, speaking in tongues in these historical occasions were always languages unknown to the speaker, but known languages in the world. This wasn't some kind of a heavenly ecstatic utterance, but this was a known language unknown to the speaker heretofore.
No, and that's where people often debate. As you know, Pastor, today people often try to debate. Now, here in Acts, you're going to have to say it's a known language. People try to go to Corinthians and say, well, in some places it's not a known language. But to be consistent with the word, I don't see how you could take it any other way but a known language. That is how we find it used throughout the book of Acts.
So the Bible says that there were 12, these 12 men that were disciples. And I could just picture them over these years, because it's been years now since the death of Christ and his resurrection. I can picture these men faithfully serving. They had been exposed to the ministry of John the Baptist, who had died before Jesus died, and had been faithful all these years to what they knew. How exciting it must have been for them now to be indwelt by the Spirit of God, to have this advanced revelation, to have this new energy and vitality to be able to serve God in this new way. How wonderful.
It would have to have been fantastic for them. You know, I never really thought about the point you just made, and that was it would have been years, decades after John the Baptist dies, and these people are just faithfully plugging away, doing what they know. You know, they haven't seen the Messiah, but John said the Messiah is going to come, and these people are just serving away faithfully, not having received the promise yet as far as they know, but being faithful with what they do know.
And there's a great practical application for you and me, my friends, and that is you don't know everything that you're going to know. None of us does. And we're always growing and we're always learning. But God holds us accountable for what we do know. And so my encouragement to you today would be just serve God according to that which you know, that which God has revealed to you. But be open. Be open to the Scripture. Be open to the Holy Spirit. And as God continues to shape you and change you in his gospel and let you know more things, then serve him with that much more vigor, that much more enthusiasm, knowing that our God is going to continue to reveal himself to each one of us. I hope that helps today, my friends. What a great little just parenthetical, I think, in the Bible about these men, these disciples, maybe men and women, that serve God, but now are serving God in a much greater way because of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Have a great day today, my friends, and I look forward to getting back to with you next episode. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.